for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 10th, 1998. Fourth of July week, summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
It truly is an oasis in the wilderness. And so, Father, I just give you the glory and the praise this morning, and I feel so privileged and so honored to be here. Hallelujah. And I tell you, people, I love you very much. It's such a joy to be around like believers. And I just pray the blessings of God upon you more and more. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Lord, where do I start? I got so much here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not I, but Jesus. Who is this Jesus that we talk about so much? The Lord give me an acrostic for that name, Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Justified entrance, saved unto service. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like a couple of you youngsters back there to come and help me pass these out to everybody. One of these days, you know, I'm going to say a couple of youngsters, and the two oldest guys in the place are going to jump up. Hallelujah. Jim?
I'll take it.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, I better say that again, I guess. Is Jesus truly the way?
Yes.
That's a little better. Hallelujah. I'll give you all time to read that once. Thank you, Lord. Let's put them right up, right there on the front. If you read that and you want to give it one to somebody, there's some more up here. You can come get another copy or two and spread it around. Hallelujah. Not I, but Jesus. The first verse says, not I, but Jesus, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Jesus, be seen, be known, and heard. Not I, but Jesus, in every look and action. Not I, but Jesus, in every thought and word. When you can come to that place, you're going to have a new mind. Isn't that right? John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Jeff, would you go get me a glass of water, please, quickly? Ice water. Thank you. In Him, in who? The Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we're told that Jesus was the first begotten of who? And who else is going to be in long in that line? Doesn't the Word say you and I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wonder why we don't see the manifested power of God like Jesus showed us, like Jesus did, and especially after we finally come to the realization that what Jesus said was true. And He said, what I've done, come on now, help me, what I've done, you do also. Thank you. And even greater things than these will you do. So it's God's will, it's God's purpose for you and I to become like Jesus. In 1 John it says even as He is, so are we in this world. And you know, all these 31 years that I've been walking with the Lord, I've been looking in the mirror and I've been saying, hey, come on, line up. Be a little bit more like Jesus. And at the same time, I've been looking all around, everywhere I go, and trying to find that person that's becoming really like Jesus. And as far as I can comprehend, if I'm wrong, y'all correct me. In reading a lot of the books about some of the mighty men of God, the closest man that I've heard about is old Smith Wigglesworth. Quite a name, quite a man of God. Hallelujah. I haven't... Yes, an old illiterate plumber that didn't know how to read or write, and God taught him. But so far, I haven't done it, and I haven't come across anybody else that's done it that would be bold enough to take a person that's died and stand him up against the wall and said, in the name of Jesus, live. And let's go, and the person falls down. About that time, I'd run out the door. I'd say, I missed it. It must not be God's will. He just reached down, took him, put it, I said, live. And life comes back into that person. Now, why did that happen? Because the Word of God says that without faith it's impossible to please God, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I think old Smith got so much a hold of that, and that's the reason he wouldn't let a newspaper come into his house. That's the reason that everywhere he went, he'd be walking down the street, and he'd stop and read two or three verses and praise the Lord, and he'd walk a couple few and take a few more steps, and he'd, glory to God, that's good too. Yeah, Lord, that's good too. The Word. You want to see a big revival take place? Then throw out your televisions and newspapers and anything else you've got at the world and just sit at the feet of Jesus and soak him up. The Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Most of us haven't really got good and hungry yet. But I'll tell you, there's coming a time in this country, I'm not talking about any other, in this country that people are going to get hungry. Because there's such catastrophe, such judgment of God going to fall on this wicked place so people are going to scream and cry out, God, where are you? It's coming, folks. It's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus was the Word. And the words that Jesus said should be extremely important to us, the most important thing in our lives. These are some of the words that Jesus said. Matthew 12, beginning at verse 35. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Yeah, we know that, Brother George, but that's sometime in the future, in the day of judgment. I got news for you, that's today. Jesus spoke these words on the backside of the cross before he was crucified, and when he was crucified, he made the statement, now is the judgment of this world. His crucifixion was the Father's judgment on this world, and it stopped right there. And the only answer is Jesus. Okay? And unless our words line up with His words, and unless we begin to comprehend and understand who we are, where we are, and what we are about, and our words continue to stay mixed and jumbled up, and one minute we're praising the Lord, and the next minute we're getting angry at somebody somewhere, hallelujah. We're justified or condemned by our words. Well, let's take it a little bit further. Is your mouth going to say anything before it gets some signals from up here? No, not as a rule. But it will before you have any control over it if the devil is in control of your life in any way whatsoever. You'll find yourself speaking things and then saying, well, I didn't really want to say that. Not you that said it. Something else in there that don't need to be there. Especially, always if it's in a derogatory manner. Let me give you some scriptures that go along with this good part of this. It says in Psalm 37, 30, and 31, you don't need to turn to there. You can mark it down because I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's a good place to be. None of your steps shall slide. But it won't be that way unless your mind is renewed by, through, and in the Word of God. Is it any wonder that Paul said in Romans 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What does that word transform mean? It means to switch. You know, you take a fan that's got in and out on it, and you turn the switch one way, and it sucks the air in. Turn it the other way, and it'll start blowing it out. It's totally reversed. God wants us to become totally reversed as far as that world out there and all it contains, you know, concerns. We need to be totally different people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to get to a place to where the devils of hell know who we are. I had a Jehovah's Witness come flying in the yard one time, and she's going to talk to us about all of this stuff. My sister's told her to get gone right away, and I was mowing the lawn, and I just reached down and cut the lawnmower off. I enjoy a confrontation with these people because I just tell them about Jesus. And if there's any demons there, they'll rise up like this woman did. She said, you know, she told me, she said, "You need to know about the world." I said, "No, I need to know about Jesus." "But you need to know what's going on in the world." "No, I don't need to know nothing about Jesus. I don't need to know what's out there in the world. I ain't a part of this world." And this, her voice changed a little bit, and this voice spoke out of her and said, "Who did you say you were?" I said, "Well, I haven't said anything about who I was, but my name's George Wingate." "Oh, we know who you are." And she stood running, started running for her car. We know who you are. See? What was talking to me wasn't that woman. A bunch of devils within her. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs 10:21, 20 and 21, it says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the righteous shall deliver them." Isn't that what this camp's all about? Delivering people, setting the captives free. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:17, 18, and 19. "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Health. The tongue of the wise is health. If I took a cigarette lighter and I got it going, got that little flame coming up, and I said, "Okay, close your eyes now and just let me hold your hand." And I held that flame close to the hand, close enough to where they could feel the heat. I wouldn't be burning them, but feel the heat. They got their eyes closed. They're going to say, "Oh, you're burning me." But it wouldn't be burning them. They'd just feel the heat. In other words, the symptom of that flame close to the finger to them would be interpreted as being burned. So the devil comes and we have some symptom, sense, feeling, and what do? We begin confessing the symptom. It hasn't got us yet. "Oh, but let's just say that I reach out here and I tickle Aurora's nose just a little with a light feather, and she sneezes two or three times, and the brother says, 'Oh, I guess you're catching a cold.'" Think about it now. You're catching a cold. In other words, you're going to let the devil throw you a cold, and you're going to hold your hands out and catch it. Not me. I'm going to say no. I'm going to step aside and let it go on. I don't catch colds. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm not going to catch anything else that the devil has. Hallelujah. By our words, we're justified, and by our words, we're condemned. We are a new class of people, if you please. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. That kind of stuff that we've been brought up with, all of that kind of talk, it should be passed away. It should be passing away. And we should exemplify the very life, the very peace, the love, and all of the other fruit of the Spirit of God, which is God. We are to become like God. The man Jesus, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. Show us the Father. Then the Father, speaking out of the man, Jesus, because he was God, he says, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and you have not known me? He that hath seen me, the man Jesus, hath seen the Father. Jesus was not only the man Jesus, he was also God the Father, and he was also the Holy Ghost. Okay? Same thing. Brother Creason, will you please stand up? Well, now you got your Bible open. Stand up, brother. Who do you see? Turn around. Who do you people see standing there? I see three people. I see his mother, I see his father, and I see himself. He cannot go anywhere that his mother and dad don't go with him. He's part of his mother, he's part of his father. He's inseparable. He'll never be able to change that. Isn't that right? And as a new creation in God, baptized in the Holy Ghost, he has that Spirit of God in him, fused into his spirit, and there's that new creation that's growing within him. So really, when I, as a spiritual being, moving in the Spirit, when I look at him, I don't see him. I only see the house that he lives in with these natural eyes. That's all I see is the house that he lives in. He is a spiritual being. And that spiritual being on the inside of that tabernacle is developing and growing as he feasts on the Word of God. And none of us will ever grow any more in the Spirit and become any more mature than we're willing to feast on the Word of God. That's the manna from heaven. Hallelujah. 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 No wonder the Word of God says to crucify the old man and put him to death. Because the old natural man, the natural man, cannot understand the things of God, for their foolishness unto him. Howbeit, he that is spiritual discerneth or judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's the reason when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and things begin to move differently, people ask, well, what's the matter with you? What's happened to you? You know. Can't figure it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right? Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We're to become so anointed with, by, through, in the Word of God, till we're to become one of those wells of salvation the water talks about, so that others may draw out of us that living water. Jesus said to that woman at the well, he said, hey, I'll give you a drink that'll make you, that you'll never have to thirst again. What does she say? Her mind was totally in the natural. Talking about the natural thing. He was talking about spiritual things, and she's thinking and talking about the natural things. We must come away from being double-minded. Because a double-minded person does not comprehend and understand the things of God, for their foolishness unto it. It just won't work. And isn't it amazing? The devil is doing everything he can possibly come up with and pulling every trick. The advent of a television where God says specifically, thou shalt not bow down and worship any image whatsoever. And yet we are guilty of sitting in front of that image thing, that machine that just keeps throwing them out. And the next thing you know, our minds get inundated with the devil's using two senses, the ears and the eyes. And little by little by little, he sneaks and slips and slithers and slides in. And we just don't seem to be able to get above just a certain plateau. And God says, hey, I want more of you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? And a word spoken in due season. Sometimes words are not so nice when you have to say something right out of the Word of God by the anointing of the Holy Ghost to somebody. It can be rather offensive because person that doesn't walk in the liberty and the freedom, they're easily offended. But for we that would go on with God, the Word of God says about offended, it says that great peace have they that love thy law, the Word of God, and nothing shall offend them. If you can still be offended by anything at all, then you need to grow a little more. Somebody can say something that offends you, then you need to grow some more. And perhaps you need to get rid of what's inside of you that's getting causing that feeling, that sensation. How can a dead person be offended? You can still be offended. You ain't died to self yet. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Where do I go now, Lord? Let me share a couple of little something here that I think will bless you. This is getting off the subject, but I want to let that sink in a little bit. It says, what God gives by promise, we must take by faith. And there are over 7,000 promises scattered throughout the Bible for those that want to dig in and find some of them. Okay? And here's a little spiritual arithmetic. A little sin will add to your trouble, subtract from your energy, and multiply your difficulty. Hallelujah. A little sin will add to your trouble, subtract from your energy, and multiply your difficulty. Okay? You can never speak a kind word too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. One more here, and then we'll get back to where we're in the true Word of God. These are some things I picked up along the way. It says, Jesus Christ is God's truth spoken in love to everybody. And who is Jesus Christ? The Word. The Word. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, please. Glory to Jesus. Ooh, glory. Let's begin at verse 14. Ought to start at Genesis 1:1. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. In the eyes of God, the only people on this earth that are living that are those that have been born again. Everybody else is dead. Well, now, wait a minute. I see all that stuff out here. That's, you see it in the natural. God looks through the Spirit, and he says, that's all dead. We're the only ones that are alive. We know the Lord. We've been resurrected out of spiritual death, born again. And he that hath part in the first resurrection, that's that resurrection of being born again, on him the second death hath no power. The second death. What's that death? That's that when you die physically. That's the second death. But if you know God and you're walking in the Lord and you have become spiritually minded and you've gotten rid of fear, then the death of this physical body doesn't bother you whatsoever, because you know that it's not you. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God to start with. So when this old physical frame ceases to function, they can take it out and feed it to the sharks or whatever they want. I could care less. I ain't going to be in it. The only reason I'm in it right now and the rest of my life is so that God can use this vessel, this voice, to proclaim His glory. Hallelujah. All right? Verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Uh-oh. But unto him which died for them and rose again. So who do we live for? Jesus. Verse 16, wherefore, and listen to this carefully, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. No man, don't know any man after the flesh, and that word flesh should be translated, the better word would be senses. We don't know any person by the senses anymore. We don't go by what a person says, how he looks, whatever. We go by the Word and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God bear witness together. And if you don't know the Word of God, then how can you be led by the Spirit of God? You can't do it. Because the Spirit of God watches over the Word of God to perform it, not what you say or I say. Hallelujah. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I didn't say it, the Word said it. Therefore, Derek Prince said one time when I was in one of his meetings, he said, if you see a therefore, you better stop and find out what it's there for. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, do you know we can measure how much we're in Christ by how much our mind is renewed by the Word and how little the world attracts us? Most of us are like a seesaw. Man, we go to church on Sunday and, oh yeah, we're in Christ. And by Monday, we're back out there in the flesh. And by Wednesday, we get back in the Spirit. And by Sunday, we're back in the flesh. And boy, it's an up and down thing. God says, hey, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So why don't you stay that way? But I got to work. Isn't it amazing that God has made us a physical sense ruled being and at the same time a spiritual being? I could stand with a bucket of paint and a paintbrush and do a good job of painting that wall and at the same time talk about Jesus. I can ride down the road paying attention to the cars and the signs and everything and talking and praying and worshiping the Lord. And if somebody's with me, man, we can have a Holy Ghost fit together. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. I think we could better say, all things are passing away. All things are passing away. Well, Brother George, last week I had kind of a battle with my mouth. I was saying some things I shouldn't have been saying. But you know what kind of got the victory over that in that meeting Sunday night? And I found out that this week I'm not saying any of those things anymore. They've passed away. God must have threw him in the Holy Ghost washing machine and turned on a little of the little powder of the Word in there and got it all stirred up real good and cleaned him out a little bit. Hallelujah. Behold, all things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And all of those things that are becoming new are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Hath, past tense. Jesus said when he died on the cross, it's finished. It's done. Then in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I give to you power over all the power of the devil. May God help us to get a hold of that statement. He gives to us power over the devil. He didn't say, I'll give the devil, most of the time I'll give the devil power to you. Well, sometime I'll give you power over the devil. No, it didn't say that. You are who God says you are. You are where God says you are. Oh, you mean God says we'd be sitting right here in these chairs today? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the natural at all. God says you have been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Well, that kingdom's not on some faraway planet. That kingdom's right here in the earth now. The kingdom, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And the glory of God is covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the time will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank God my knees bowed now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made this earth and he said it's good. I don't know why he picked this little peanut planet out of all of that stuff that's out there that they never have found an end to it anywhere and probably never will. But he made this little planet. I know that because the Word tells me. And he said, it's good. Then he made a human being and put in it. And he gave him and Eve some instructions, and they disobeyed God. They sold out to the devil. Eve was deceived. And that ought to tell us something about, tell us men something about looking out for our women. Women are sensitive. Thank God. We men are rational, reasoning beings, or should be. We need to look out for our women. We need to watch over them. We need to protect them. But first of all, we need to get ourselves cleaned up. If I had lots of time, I'd tell you some testimony about my precious wife that God's blessed me with now, but I'll leave that to some other time. Okay. Behold, all things are becoming new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. John 14:20, Jesus said this. He said, at that day, talking about this time now, again, talking before he was crucified, speaking about a future day, he said, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Remember what I showed y'all? Some of y'all were not here the last time I spoke. I had three glasses with a little bit of water in it, and I demonstrated how that works together, you know, and so on. You are in Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And you're becoming God inside minded. Hallelujah. And God is wanting to develop a people and wanting a people to be so committed to him that they'll walk this earth just like Jesus Christ did. Giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, casting out the devils. And isn't it amazing? When he went across the sea, that person came running to him, demon-possessed. And they said, if we're going to go out, let us go into those hogs. I wonder why they said that. And I wonder why those hogs immediately ran to the water. An old hog, if he's left in the sun, he will die, boil in his own fat. Kill him. He's got to have a mud hole or a water or water or something to get into so he can stay somewhat cool. But no, when Jesus said, okay, go, and the reason those demons are in that, was in that person, and the reason they like to get into us more than anything else. Now, you may not agree with what I'm about to say, that's all right. Put it on the shelf. If the Lord quickens you to it, fine. But God, our God, is a consuming fire, is he not? And our God is also a very present help in the time of trouble, is he not? And did he not say, I'll never leave you or forsake you? And so when the Holy Spirit, who is God, came on the day of Pentecost, that's God, then the consuming fire of God, not the kind of fire we think about with our eyes and ears and see and so on, but that supernatural power of God is relevant in this earth, all over it, everywhere, right now. And when those demons were in that man, as long as they were in, they are in anybody, there is a relative coolness. Your temperature is to stay at what? 98.6. But when the demons are forced to leave, they've got to find somewhere something to get into. Because they are immediately in the fire of God Almighty. So they went into the hogs. Well, what did the hogs do? They sensed that heat and immediately, chew, right down to the water. Of course, it cost them their lives. They drowned. I said, Lord, I need some more instruction about this, what you're showing me now. And he says, well, okay. Said, you live right there close to the beach. What happens as soon as the temperature of the water begins to get just a little bit compatible, everybody starts heading for the water. And until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and went through a lot of deliverance, man, I couldn't wait to go swimming. Oh, it was such a joy to go swimming all the time. And once I got free of a bunch of demons, I could care less about going swimming. Really, Hallelujah. Now then, okay. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Are you really rejoicing and glad that you've been reconciled to God? Next time you look in the mirror, say hello to your spiritual man, to you, the real person. Forget about that image that's staring at you out of the mirror. Just forget about that. That Holy Ghost power of God, that sperm of God, God woos a person to himself. That's just like a young man going out and seeing this lovely little lady and falling in love with her, and he begins to woo her to himself. The next thing you know, he says, hey, I think we ought to get married. In the spirit, that's like a person being wooed by God. He's going to the church, you know, and it's just getting goosebumps and feeling so good about in those messages. And little by little, the Lord draws him and he says, hey, our engagement's been a little while now. I think we ought to get married, which means being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, bring that over to the natural, and that's like the young man getting married, and then there's the wedding night. And then there's the honeymoon. And isn't that the way it is when we first come to the Lord? It's so joyous and so wonderful, and the honeymoon period, man, and then all of a sudden it sort of begins to kind of wane down a little bit. Same old, same old. But it shouldn't be that way. And if we'll feast on the Word of God and really get hungry to know more and more of God, you know, because what happens when a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost? That's just the same as the man and the woman coming together, and there is the conception that takes place within the womb of the woman. That sperm hits that ovum, that egg, and there's a new creation that begins to form. We've got a lady over here right now. There's a new creation forming. Well, in the natural, 9 months is the gestation period, and then there's a birth, right? It's too bad that God couldn't have set a precise time that after the Holy Ghost comes and after we have a gestation period, that all of a sudden this old outer shell just breaks and there's the very likeness of Jesus standing there. But that's not the way he wants it, has made it to be, but he has made it to be this way. He has made it for us to become less of ourself and more of him by allowing the Christ-like person, that the spirit of you, that you are the spirit being, which is Christ in you, the natural man, the hope of glory. Because when that Holy Ghost sperm penetrated your spirit, ovum, that new creation is starting to grow. Too much of the church, the baby's been growing in the womb of the old man for 100 years, and he just can't do nothing. May God help us to grow up.
Glory.
Hallelujah. That's the reason I can sing that little song. I feel better all over more than anywhere else. And the other about, I'm so excited, you know. Glory to God. It's something to get excited about, folks.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. I think I got a hint. I was staying in a halfway house with a bunch of youngsters. I was the old man there. I won't go into the reason why. And there's an old country western, and some of the words it says, I feel better all over more than anywhere else. And I don't remember any of the rest of the country song. But every morning for 2 weeks, I guess, those words would start going through my mind when I first awakened. I got up this particular morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, get a pencil and a piece of paper now, I'm going to give you a few more words to go with it. And this is what it is. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus saved my soul. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I took the word of God, tore the devil apart. Yes, and I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. Hallelujah. Woo! Now, you remember I read a while ago, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned? I sing that song when this old body don't feel better all over. But I sing that song anyway because this old body's not going to rule me. There's a sixth sense being developed. And that sixth sense, the spirit man, is going to have rulership over those five natural senses, which is considered to be the flesh, the works of the flesh. And how the devil has twisted that around. And stand up here, brother. This old hand, boy, I mean, it comes out and it knocks the fool out of me. And then he says, hey, I'm sorry, my hand did it. I'm sorry, that hand just jumped up there and hit you. Is that the way it happens? No. That hand didn't do a thing till it got something out of this thing here. Your flesh can't do nothing until it gets some signals from this thing right here. God says, I know all about all of that stuff that can go on, so I want you to have control over you, the natural man. But you can't do it unless the sixth sense, the spirit man, is anointed, joined to, and walking in communion and harmony with God, the Spirit. Ooh, glory. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:20. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus sin. Oh, my. Isn't that terrible? And he didn't know any sin. Is it any wonder that he shed tears and it broke out and just come, and blood come out of him in such grief with that pile on top of him? For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Psalm 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. What a burden to bear. What a load to carry. If there was no other reason to love him, that would be enough. And Isaiah 53:9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. In other words, his mind was free. How did Jesus answer the devil when he was out there being tempted? It is written. Well, now what do we have? The devil comes along and he says, okay, you fanatics. You know what the definition of a fanatic is? That's a person who's got the fan of the Holy Ghost up here in this attic and it's blowing out all the garbage. So you want to be a fanatic for God?
Glory.
May God help us to become more knowledgeable about Satan's devices. There's only two reasons why human beings have problems. One is ignorance, and the other is rejection. There's no other reason. So God says it is written, and in due time he gives us about as good as you could get with the old 1611 King James, or maybe an even earlier than that, I don't know, but the old 1611 King James. So what does the devil do? He says he sees people. He sees the move of God back in the 1800s and right on, you know, whenever. And he says, well, I'm losing ground. I got to do something. So he finds the right minds, and he begins to infiltrate the mind, and he says, I know, speaking in the first person, I know what we'll do. We'll come out with a new translation. You know, after all, that old King James is kind of hard to understand. So we'll come out with a new translation. So they come out with some translation, and it goes over big, and people begin to buy it and soak it up. Oh, boy, okay, that worked pretty good. Let's do it again and again. And right now there's over 300 translations. I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is an anointing on the old 1611 King James. I've tried others. I cannot minister under the anointing, so I will stick to this. You do what you please. Yes, God. Yes, I will, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, turn on over to the 10th chapter. I believe I'll finish up just about 5 o'clock. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, oh, you mean we got weapons? Well, I thought all we had to do was just, you know, cry out to God and God would come and change our spiritual diapers and God would feed us and God would just do everything. I thought that's all you had to do. There it is. Again, Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he said, Behold, I give to you power. I give to you power. I give to you power. Most of us are like the man in the little boat, you know. Somebody come along and they wanted to give him an outboard motor. He's a fisherman, got one of these little boats. And he said, no, he said, I got a pair of oars. Said, after all, them oars just keep me nice and strong, you know. I'll just, can you row up the creek, you know, when I want to go fishing. So he decides to go fishing this particular morning, and it's a pretty good ways off. And he starts rowing, and here comes his friend who's got the little motor on his boat, and he chugs on by him and says, See you later. Finally, he's puffing and a puffing, and he rows that boat, and he gets it on up there to the fishing ground, but his buddy's already got there and caught the fish. Most of us are still trying to row the boat. Oh, we're going to make it someday. If we can just hang in there long enough, man, we're going to make it. Just over in glory land. Hang in there, folks. I tell you, I like this 40 million horsepower motor that I got right here on the back of my boat. I'm telling you, this motor is so powerful, it's done propel me where I need to go. I ain't got to go there. I'm already there. I'm seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Oh, you mean you got somewhere you go that's out of this world? Well, yes, so to speak. For me, everywhere I go, it's out of this world. But I don't want nothing to do with that world out there. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 6:13, it says, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. No, Brother Creason, I'm not able to really. I tell you, Brother Creason, the devil's just giving me such a hard time today. I'm just so tired. I got to sit. I just got to sit down and rest a while, Brother Creason, because the devil's really been on my case today. Man, I'm telling you, he just, you know. May God help us to get our conversation straightened out. The devil don't give me a hard time anymore. Anytime I give him a hard time, because I'm pressing on for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. If I'm saying the devil's giving me a hard time, I'm carnally minded. How can the devil give a dead person a hard time? Glory. You need to be so dead to self that when the devil tries to give you a hard time in any way whatsoever, and it's a fight to the finish, you've got to come to that place of saying, Devil, I refuse to knuckle down to you in any way whatsoever. I refuse to acknowledge you in anything you're trying to do. As far as you're concerned, I'm dead. And if you don't believe it, go down to the morgue, pull out a corpse, stick an ice pick in it. If he hollers out, then come back, maybe I'll say, ooey. Hallelujah. Whew, glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Who said Christians can't have a good time?
That's right.
Man, I'm having more fun right up here than I would be at a three-ring circus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. But you know, now let me read the rest of this stuff right here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings. The old King James says imaginations, which is good. It's another word for it is reasonings. Where's all this taking place? Right up here. Right up here. Wouldn't it be nice if we could, this thing would be zipped on, and we could unzip it, you know, and throw it in the washing machine. I wonder what we'd do when that washing machine started jumping up and down. Clunk, clank, clunk. Oh, that's just a bunch of demons trying to... Ooh, glory. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, how are you going to do that if your mind is not renewed by the Word of God? It's impossible. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6 is a key that the church needs to get a hold of more than perhaps anything else. It says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If we had more people in leadership whose obedience was fulfilled, then we wouldn't have all the problems running around here and there, because we'd have power to discern and minister to those people in such a way that they could be set free. And again, that's what this campground's all about, is setting the captives free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Gets gooder and gooder. And casting down those imaginations, Brother Jim. Phew, man. Sound of God's great army. I hear the sound of the marching feet. I hear the sound of God's great army that will never know defeat. You know why we'll never know defeat? Because we put the devil under defeat. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Read along as I... listen along now and read along with me as I read this. I'm talking to me now, and you all can get in on it. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. You dead yet? When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself and conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross that I may know Him, being made conformable to His death. And you'll see the little picture on the front there, caution, Christians under construction. Kind of wounded up, but, you know, He's going to make it. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. It's almost time to break. Let's go back to this, not I, but Jesus, for just a couple of moments. Not I, but Jesus be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Jesus be seen, be known, and heard. Not I, but Jesus in every look and action. Not I, but Jesus in every thought and word. Not I, but Jesus to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Jesus to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Jesus to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Jesus to hush away all fear. Jesus, only Jesus. No idle word e'er falling. Jesus, only Jesus. No needless bustling sound. Jesus, only Jesus. No self-important bearing. Jesus, only Jesus, no trace of I be found. Not I, but Jesus, my every need supplying. Not I, but Jesus, my strength and health to be. Jesus, only Jesus, for spirit, soul, and body. Jesus, only Jesus, live then thy life in me. Jesus, only Jesus, ere long will fill my vision. Glory excelling soon, full soon I'll see. Jesus, only Jesus, my every wish fulfilling. Jesus, only Jesus, my all in all to be. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it be no more I, but Jesus that lives in me. Do you go along with that? Can you really say amen to that? Jesus lives in me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does it say in Galatians 2:20? What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't live by my faith. I've been given a measure of faith, but I don't live by that. I live by the faith of Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. So then if I live by the Word, I'm going to be victorious. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The challenge before the Christian today is to possess the land within. Possess this land. Think about it. Everywhere you've ever been, everything you've ever seen, ever heard, ever felt, ever smelled, ever tasted, all is recorded within the structure of this huge complex here. Little bit, but oh my, how fantastic it is. My young son came home one day, many, many years ago. He was in the fourth grade, I think. And he come up to me and he had a big question. He said, Dad, he said, how big would a brain have to be to compare with a computer? Now, this is many years ago when the computers, you know, were just coming in good. I said, Gary, I don't have the slightest idea. Well, Gary, Dad, make a guess. I said, Gary, I don't know anything about computers. He said, well, the teacher said, if they made a brain as big enough to a computer big enough to compare with the human brain, they'd have to make it as big as the state of Texas and 11 stories tall. Boy. And all of that's compacted in this little... Well, think about everything that's made out there. All the complex mechanics that's going on now. And how did it come about? Through minds. So we must learn how to possess this land within. Our Joshua has broken the authority of evil over us, it says in Colossians 1:13. And the works of the enemy must be dealt with in the land of the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. Conquer your mind, and you've conquered the devil. You don't have any other place to work. But if you don't conquer your mind and bring it into submission to the authority of Almighty God, then in some area of your life, the devil's going to conquer you. It's inevitable. Say this with me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. May it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh God, I know that time to me is very precious. You are all time, once and for all, forever and ever. But my time and this physical life is measured. Therefore, I ask you to help me redeem the time because the days are evil. I ask you to help me comprehend and really understand that time is a borrowed trust from eternity, and once it's gone, it's gone. I can't call back a single day, a single hour, a single moment. So, oh God, have mercy on me and help me to protect the time that I have remaining and endeavor to walk in total surrender and commitment to you, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, I'm going to take more careful attention to time and give it more to you. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree it to be so. And Lord Jesus, I give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise now. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for the blessings that you're giving to us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that I find, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that I find, I'm praising the Lord.
praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
In everything that happens. Keep praising our Lord. Keep praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
Keep praising our Lord.
In everything that happens. Keep praising our Lord. I'm praising our Lord.
I'm praising our Lord.
I'm praising our Lord. Everything that happens, I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that happens, I'm praising
the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
In everything that happens. We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
In everything that happens. We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
We're praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you praising the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Go back and get it. Here we go.
Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four.
God's got an army
marching through this land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in the heart. And in this army I've got a part.
Hallelujah! God's got an army
marching through this land. Deliverance is our song and healing in our hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in the heart. And in this army I've got a part.
Up, two, three, four. 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 God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part.
He is the King. Our
King,
He is the Lord.
He is the Lord
of Lords. His name is Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, He is the King. He is the King. Our
King,
He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh, He is the King.
Sing it.
He is the King, our King. He is the Lord, our Lord. His name is Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
oh.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay.
I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where? Down in my
heart.
Down in my heart.
I've got the love of Jesus
down in my heart.
Down in my heart today.
I've got the peace that passes understanding
down in my heart.
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I've got the peace that passes understanding
down in my heart. down in my heart to sing.
I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's
down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's
down in my heart.
I've got joy, 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 joy
down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart.
I've got the joy, 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 joy
down in my heart, down in my heart.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Come on.
I'm trying to find you.
Steve, go ahead. This little light of mine, she wants to sing that song.
Okay.
This little light of mine,
I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, this big light, this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over the whole wide world, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over the whole wide world, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let the devil blow it out. No,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let the devil
blow it
out.
No,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Now, when we do it this time, I want you to stop your feet and get mad with the devil this morning. He's mad at you, so you get mad at him. Let the devil blow it out. No.
Let the devil blow it out. No.
Again, let the devil blow it out. No.
Let the devil blow it out. No, I'm gonna let it shine.
Shine, let it shine.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hallelujah.
Let it shine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Aren't they wonderful this morning?
Amen.
Oh, my, they've had a great time in the Lord. Learned much about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity.
And love.